miles back, a place with a neon sign blinking like a dying firefly. I stopped there, had a cup of coffee. Bitter, lukewarm. The waitress had eyes like deep water, eyes that had seen too much but weren't saying a word about it. I wanted to ask her something, anything. Maybe where I was, maybe where I was supposed to be going. But I didn't. I just left a few crumpled bills on the counter and walked back into the night. Now I'm here. Somewhere between where I was and where I should be. But isn't that always the way? I think about my father. He was always waiting for something. Some moment. Some revelation. He used to sit in his chair by the window, staring out, as if any second now the universe would open up and tell him what it had been trying to say all along. But nothing ever came. Nothing ever does. I pull the car over, kill the engine, step out onto the side of the road. The silence is thick, pressing against me. I close my eyes, listen. There's something in the wind, something just out of reach. A whisper. A warning. A secret. But before I can grasp it, before I can make sense of anything, it's gone. Like everything else. I get back in the car, turn the key, the engine rumbles, the headlights carve a path through the dark, and I keep driving, always waiting. For what? I've been thinking about objects, things, the way they exist, the way we think we know them. A rock on the side of the road, a crumpled cigarette pack in the glove compartment, the dashboard light casting a dim glow on my hands. I see them, I feel them, but do I really know them? Or am I just seeing what my mind lets me see? There's something unsettling about it. The idea that everything I experience is just a shadow, a translation. The real thing, whatever it is, sits behind a wall I can't climb. I can touch it, but I can't reach it. Like the waitress at that diner. The way she looked at me. Not with recognition, not even curiosity. Just distance. Like she knew something I didn't, like she lived on the other side of that wall, and I was just another traveler passing through, staring at shadows, mistaking them for substance. And then there's time. Even if I reach through, even if I could really touch something, by the time I do, it's already gone. The moment is gone. The object has changed. Or I have. I take a sip from a bottle of water. The plastic crinkles under my grip. The water inside is cold, but not as cold as it was when I bought it. It's already warming, already becoming something else. And yet I call it the same thing. The same bottle. The same water. But it's not. Not really. It's like the road. Always ahead of me. Always behind me. But never here. Never now. I keep driving. Always driving. Always waiting. The road keeps unfolding. The world remains on the other side of something I can't name. And all I can do, all any of us can do, is pretend we understand it. Pretend we're part of it. Pretend it isn't slipping through our fingers, second by second, mile by mile. I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such. I pretend too much. Maybe I don't know anything. I mean, I think I do. I think I know that I'm driving, that the wheel is solid under my hands, that the road is real. But what if it isn't? What if none of this is? What if I'm just dreaming? Or worse, what if I'm being tricked? I try to shake the thought, but it sticks. I tap my fingers against the steering wheel, feeling the rhythm, listening to the tiny sound it makes. I try to remind myself that I exist, that I am here. But that doesn't tell me much, does it? It doesn't tell me that the road exists, or the car, or the sky stretched out above me like an empty canvas. It just tells me that something is thinking, that something is doubting. And doubt is easy. I doubt the road, I doubt the car, I doubt the waitress with her tired eyes and her lukewarm coffee. I doubt that any of it is real. But the doubt itself, That's real, isn't it? That's the one thing I can't shake. But what am I? A man in a car? A voice in the dark? A thought in someone else's dream? I glance in the rearview mirror. Nothing behind me but miles of empty road, stretching back into nothingness. Like maybe I didn't drive down that road at all. Maybe it only started existing the moment I looked at it. Maybe the past is just a trick my mind plays on me to keep me sane. The road hums beneath me. The radio crackles again. Half a voice, a fragment of a song. Then gone. I press my foot to the gas. I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know if I'm moving. But I know one thing. I'm still thinking. And as long as I'm thinking, I must be something. I keep thinking about my grandfather. The last time we spoke, it was late. Just like this, just me and him in a dimly lit room. The smell of old books and stale coffee hanging in the air. He was sitting in that worn-out recliner of his, the one with the broken armrest, a blanket draped over his knees. He looked at me, real slow, like he was measuring his words before they even reached his lips. And then he said, "You ever get the feeling that you've been here before?" I thought he meant the conversation. He had a habit of repeating himself, looping back into old stories as if they were ruts in the road he couldn't climb out of. But that wasn't it. He meant everything. The room, the night, the moment itself. "Like a record skipping," he said. "Like you wake up and realize you've done this already, but you can't remember how it ends." I laughed, shrugged it off. "Deja vu," I said. "A glitch in the brain." But he shook his head. "It's not that. It's not just a feeling. It's like you're stuck in something you don't understand. A loop. A pattern. Like you're being watched by something just outside your vision. And it's waiting to see if you'll notice." I didn't know what to say to that, so I didn't say anything. Just sat there, listening to the old clock ticking on the wall, marking time in a way that suddenly felt arbitrary. Like it was just there to convince us that things were moving forward when maybe they weren't moving at all. He sighed, rubbed his hands together like he was trying to warm them up. Then he looked at me, serious this time. "Pay attention." That's all he said. "Pay attention." I wanted to ask him what the truth was. I wanted to ask him what he meant. But I didn't. I just nodded. And then we sat there in silence, listening to the clock. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. That was the last time I saw him, a week later. And now, out here on this empty road, I think I finally understand what he meant. I was 8 years old the first time I rode a roller coaster. My grandparents took me to a theme park, one of those places that always smelled like popcorn and asphalt baking in the sun. The kind of place where time doesn't seem to exist, where everything is designed to keep you moving from one ride to the next. Never stopping long enough to think. My grandfather wasn't much for rides, but my grandmother, something just beneath the surface, like she was waiting for an excuse to break free from whatever rules she'd spent her whole life following. So when we stopped in front of the biggest roller coaster in the park, this rickety wooden thing with a climb that seemed to disappear into the sky, she just looked at me, grinned, and said, "Let's go." I remember the line, the endless shuffle forward, the smell of old metal and grease, the way my hands felt slick against the safety bar as we strapped in, the slow, agonizing climb, the click, click, click of the chain pulling us higher and higher until the whole park was spread out below us like a miniature world, tiny people wandering tiny streets. And then, the drop. My stomach left me behind, the world blurred. Everything was speed and wind and the distant sound of my own voice screaming and laughing at the same time. It was terrifying. It was exhilarating. It felt unreal. And when it was over, when we stumbled off the ride, my grandmother just patted me on the back and said, "See, it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. But here's the thing. Even now, when I think back to that moment, I remember the feeling, the rush, the weightlessness of that first drop. But the ride, the details, they're just a blur. A reconstruction my mind has pieced together over the years. Because that's how it works, isn't it? No pure form. We get the version our minds give us. The filtered, processed, reassembled version. Like standing behind a window and only seeing what the glass lets through. Even that roller coaster, what was it really? Wood and steel? A series of mechanical parts obeying the laws of physics? Or was it just a feeling? A memory? A story I've told myself so many times that I can't even say for sure if it happened the way I remember? I wonder about that sometimes, about how much of the world I've actually seen, and how much of it I've just experienced. The way a dream feels real while you're in it, but starts to slip away the second you wake up. And I wonder, not the thing itself, just the ride. Highways don't just happen. First, they send in the surveyors, guys in reflective vests, standing in fields with tripods and measuring rods, marking out what will be from what currently is, before a single inch of asphalt is laid, before any machine claws into the dirt, they map it, marks on paper. They take the chaos of the land and impose order, angles, elevations, precise calculations dictating where the road will go. Then come the machines, the graders, the pavers. They carve out the earth, lay down layers of crushed rock, gravel, sand. The foundation has to be perfect because everything, every car, every truck, every journey depends on what's underneath. Next, the asphalt. Hot, black, sticky. They roll it out in layers, compacting it down until it's smooth, seamless. Science in action. Material engineered to withstand heat, cold, rain, time. And yet, no matter how perfect they make it, cracks still form. No perfect form. The ground shifts, water seeps in. The freeze-thaw cycle does its work. Nothing lasts forever. Finally, the lines, white and yellow, painted with precision. The illusion of control. Stay here, drive there, move forward in an orderly fashion, as if the lines themselves can keep the chaos at bay. And maybe they do. For a while, I think about that roller coaster again, about how my memory of it, the way I felt, the rush, the moment of weightlessness, is different from what actually happened, because there was something underneath it, a structure, a design. Just like this highway, just like every road, everything I experienced was built on something real. Wood, steel, physics. But I didn't see that. I only felt the drop. And that makes me wonder. We don't think about the surveyors, the machines, the asphalt. We just drive. Always driving. Always waiting. We don't think about the structure holding up the ride. We just scream on the way down. Is there some unknowable thing hiding behind a veil? Maybe the cracks in the road aren't failures. Maybe they're reminders. Reminders that there's something beneath us. That the ride isn't just a feeling. Steel and sweat. Survey lines and crushed rock. You just have to know where to look. I talk about highways like I understand them. Like I've built one with my own hands. Like I've stood in a field with a surveyor's rod, felt the weight of a paving stone, smelled the hot tar rising in waves off fresh asphalt. Everything I know about roads, about how they're made, comes from books, from articles, from half-heard conversations. Second-hand knowledge, a translation of reality that I've never actually touched. I grip the wheel a little tighter. The leather feels real under my hands. I can see the white lines flicking past, feel the hum of the pavement beneath the tires. I know I'm moving. But how? How do I know? Maybe I don't. Maybe all I can be sure of is this. I'm here, thinking, trying to make sense of something that keeps slipping through my fingers. The sound of a turn signal clicks. The road noise changes as the car slows. Gravel crunching under the tires. I pull into the diner, the same one from before, Or maybe not. Maybe every diner at the edge of a highway is the same diner, just shifting slightly depending on who's looking. The neon sign flickers. The door swings open with a hollow chime. The place is mostly empty, just the waitress behind the counter and a trucker, nursing a cup of coffee, staring into the middle distance like he's trying to remember what state he's in. I sit down at the counter. The vinyl seat creaks under my weight. The waitress looks at me, tired but patient, like she's been waiting for me to say something. I order coffee. Black. No sugar. She nods, pours it, slides the cup in front of me. I wrap my hands around it. Feel the warmth. Steam rises in slow, curling wisps. I watch it dissolve into the air, disappearing like it was never there at all. And I think, when I get back in the car, when the road swallows me up again, when this moment becomes just another memory, half-formed, uncertain, slipping into the past. And I think, I take a sip, bitter, hot, the taste lingers. And for now, that's enough. The map shifts in the dark, edges curling, whispering routes I'll never take. I hear my name in the static, just for a second, or maybe I don't. The road hums, the wheel hums, my hands, and I think, empty, but holding. Somewhere far off, a diner flickers in and out of existence, steam rising from a cup that may or may not be mine. A glove missing its pair, a receipt marking a place I left unfinished, taillights like embers, a truck fading into the night. I turn the dial. The station bends at the song, almost forming, almost arriving, almost static, and the road stretches on. I was walking through a city I didn't recognize, but somehow I knew exactly where I was going. Streets stretched long and narrow, lined with buildings that loomed too high, leaning in like they wanted to whisper something. The air was thick with the smell of rain on pavement, electricity, something burning in the distance. I turned a corner and found myself in a department store. Endless aisles, fluorescent light so bright it hurt, shelves stocked with things I didn't need, things I didn't even recognize, but somehow I felt the pull to take them, to want them. My hands were full, but I didn't remember picking anything up. And there, just beyond the checkout counters, stood something watching me. Not a person, not a thing I could name. A shadow that moved without moving, a shape that shifted like smoke caught in a draft. It had no face, but I felt its eyes on me, measuring, calculating, not judging. Judgment would imply some kind of morality. No, this was colder. More precise, it was expectation. It was the weight of every step I had ever taken, every breath I had ever drawn, every decision I had ever made, all reduced to a number in some vast, invisible ledger. The sum of my labor, my desires, my fears, all accounted for. I tried to leave, but the doors wouldn't open, not until I had paid. For what, I didn't know. For the things in my hands, for the air I had breathed while standing there, for the space I had taken up just by existing. And so I reached into my pockets, pulled out everything I had, bills, coins, scraps of paper, with numbers written in my own handwriting, though I didn't remember writing them. I handed them over, but the shadow didn't move, didn't take them. Not enough. It was never enough. And then I woke up, the sound of the coffee machine gurgling behind the counter. The soft clatter of silverware from the back. I take another sip of coffee, let the bitterness sit on my tongue. The waitress moves behind the counter, refilling the trucker's cup, wiping down a spot that's already clean. And I wonder, how much of my life is my own? How many of my choices, my movements, my desires are really mine? The road outside is paved with careful calculation, the land surveyed, parceled, sold. The car I drove here built to break, built to need, built to send me back to the same machine that made it. Even this diner, this table, this cup, this coffee exists because of some invisible hand pushing, pulling, shaping every moment before I even arrive. I stare at the check resting on the counter. I reach into my pocket and I pay. Because that's the way it works, isn't it? You keep moving. You keep paying. And the specter, the shadow, the weight, the thing behind the curtain, never stops watching. The register dings. The door swings open. The night waits outside. It came in the mail last week, urgent red letters screaming at me from the envelope. Time is running out. Protect your investment. But I never made an investment. I never bought whatever it is they think I did. Still, I didn't throw it away. It's sitting on my kitchen table, unopened, like maybe one day it'll explain itself. I should have left it at the front desk, but I didn't. It's been in my wallet for months, bending at the edges. The name of the motel already half faded. I try to picture the room, the stiff sheets, the hum of the air conditioner, the faint smell of bleach. I can't. Just another stop on a road that never ends. I don't even remember signing up for it. Every month it arrives, shiny pages full of advice I'll never take, articles I'll never finish. 10 ways to improve your life. The secrets of success. They pile up on the counter, unopened, their headlines taunting me. Maybe next month, I think. Maybe next time. Black leather, creased at the knuckles, like it belonged to someone who gripped the wheel a little too tightly. I found it in the back seat weeks ago. I don't know whose it was. Maybe mine, maybe a stranger's. But I keep it, as if the other one might turn up, as if anything ever completes itself. The expiration date is still months away, but the store itself, shuttered, abandoned, its windows covered in dust and regret. I hold on to it anyway, proof that it once existed, that something was once promised. Tangled in a drawer, the connector outdated, useless. But I keep it just in case, because maybe one day I'll need it. Maybe one day the past will come calling, and I'll be ready. Heavy cardstock, embossed letters, a firm handshake I barely remember. Let's stay in touch. But we won't. We never do. I don't even remember the plot anymore. Just that it was supposed to mean something. A stress ball shaped like a globe. A flyer for a product no one ever needed. Someone, somewhere, thought these things mattered. Folded wrong, edges frayed. Maybe I thought it meant something. A place I could go, a road I could take. But I never did. And now it just sits in the glove compartment waiting for a journey that isn't coming. The road hums beneath. The voice fades. The night stretches on. The sound of the road is different at night. Less cars, more space for the silence to creep in. The hum of the tires changes depending on the pavement. New asphalt smooth like a whisper. Old cracked concrete humming like a broken radio. Sometimes the road sings, little ridges in the surface turning the highway into an instrument no one meant to play. Other times it's just the wind pressing against the windows reminding me I'm moving. The soft click of the turn signal, rhythmic, patient. The air vents pushing lukewarm air into a space too big and too small at the same time. The radio, half on. Catching fragments of a station I can't quite place. Static, then a voice, then music, then static again. Once I swear I heard my name in the static, just for a second, just long enough to make me wonder if I was imagining it. There's a truck ahead of me, taillights glowing red like embers. I wonder where it's going, what's in the trailer, what the driver's listening to. If he's listening to anything at all, maybe he hears the same sounds I do. The wind against the windshield. The drone of the tires. The ghost of a song that never quite comes through. Or maybe he hears nothing. Just the weight of the road stretching ahead. Endless, waiting to be paid. I reach for the radio dial, turn it. The static shifts, reshapes. Somewhere, far off, someone is speaking. You have been listening to episode 188. I remember the line. The Stop Go Stop podcast is produced by John Wanzel. From Chicago to your ears, thank you for listening.